بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل الله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، حافظوا على الصلوات والصلاة الوسطى. وقال الله تعالى: أتل ما أوحي إليك من الكتاب وأقم الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أول ما يحاسب به العبد يوم القيامة الصلاة، فإن صلحت صلح سائر عمله، وإن فسدت فسد سائر عمله، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. صدق الله المولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله. First of all, we praise Allah Ta'ala and we send salutations upon our Master Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And I'd like to take this opportunity to first of all express my gratitude to my Asatidha Ikram, Mashayikh, Maulid Zuhan Sahib, for giving me this opportunity through the tawajjuh, through the barakah I'm sitting here and speaking to you. Allah Ta'ala is a great being. Allah Ta'ala had done everything for us. To appreciate a being, to appreciate somebody, we need to understand what they had done for us and what they are doing for us. If you understand that the president is doing such and such work for us, he's providing services, he's running the affairs of the country, then we value that person. In the same way, Allah Ta'ala is the controller of the whole universe. Allah Ta'ala's bounties, وَإِنْ تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. That if you have to start counting the ni'mats and the bounties of Allah Ta'ala, then never ever will you be able to enumerate it. Never ever will you be able to put it in numeric form. Allah Ta'ala is such a great being. One favor of Allah Ta'ala: قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمُ اللَّيْلَ سَرْمَدًا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ مَنْ إِلَهٌ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِضِيَاءٍ. That if Allah Ta'ala has to make it night from now, everlasting night until the day of Qiyamah, which God, which Ilah, which person can make it day? Is there some switch we can put it on? Is there some switch that we can turn night into day? And in the next ayat, Allah Ta'ala is saying, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُ مِنْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمُ النَّهَارَ سَرْمَدًا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ مَنْ إِلَهٌ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِلَيْلٍ تَسْكُنُونَ فِيهِ. That if Allah Ta'ala has to make it day from now, everlasting until the day of Qiyamah, which Ilah, which God, which person besides Allah can make it night, that you can recline in, that you can rest in? Is there some switch? No. Allah Ta'ala has given so many bounties. Look at the bounty of these trees, these plants. From that one seed, that black seed in a black soil with some sunlight and some rain, Allah Ta'ala makes a sprout come out, a green sprout. Where was green in the whole thing? There was a black seed. There was a black soil. Where was green? Green came out of there. From that green, Allah Ta'ala makes a branch come out. And from there it becomes a huge bark. From that bark, other branches come out. From the branches, other green leaves come out. From those green leaves, a different color flower comes out. From the different color flower, a different color fruit comes out. A red apple. Inside that red apple is white. Inside that white, there's a potential to grow 10, 12 more trees. Which Allah? Which person besides Allah can do this? You can tell some scientist in a lab, he can take that and put that seed in his hand and make that plant grow? No, it can't happen. And from this tree, from these plants, how many benefits we get? We get food, we get shade, we get oxygen. From this paper is made. From this, the atmosphere is kept cool. From this, we get clothes, everything. From this tree, from this plant. So Allah Ta'ala has given us so many bounties. But the greatest bounty that is the reason for our creation, the reason for the creation of all the other bounties is this bounty of Iman. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That Allah Ta'ala says, we have not created jinn and man except for our obedience, except for our worship. So Allah Ta'ala has created us for the worship of Allah Ta'ala. And all these ni'mats are there to help us in worshipping Allah Ta'ala. So the greatest bounty is this iman. It is such a great bounty that you have to if you have to place the whole world on one pan of the balance, and you have to place this kalima la ilaha illallah on other pan of the balance, this kalima la ilaha illallah will outweigh. It will be said that a person will come with registers and registers filled with sins on the day of Qiyamah, and Allah Ta'ala will ask him that, what did you bring today? What good deed did you bring? Then he'll tell Allah that, Ya Allah, I brought nothing. As you can see, full of sins, records and registers of sins are filled. But Allah Ta'ala says, no, you have good deeds. Today you will not be wronged. One small paper will come. So he asks Allah, this person asks Allah, Allah, what this small paper is going to do? See the big registers I have. On that paper will be written, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. That small paper will outweigh all those registers of sins. Such a great ni'mat. And from this ni'mat, Allah Ta'ala only keeps on giving ni'mats to the believers. And the greatest ni'mat, the greatest favor, it's not only a commandment, it's not a burden as many of us take it. It's not a waste of time as many of us take it. May Allah forgive us this ni'mat of salah. This gift of salah, it was a hadiyah. All the other commandments, how Allah Ta'ala sent it, was that He sent Jibreel alayhi salam down, and it was given to Nabi alayhi salam, the commandment of all the other commandments, they came down in that way. But this commandment of salah, Allah Ta'ala had a great ceremony in the heavens. Allah Ta'ala called Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam up to give him this ni'mat, to give him this great favor. It was not only a commandment, it's not only a burden, it's not only time taking from us. It is for our benefit, this great gift. Look at the way Miraj was done. What great things happened in Miraj. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam reached a certain point with Jibreel alayhi salam, then Jibreel alayhi salam said, I can't go further than this point. Only you can go, Nabi of Allah. Only you can go. Jibreel alayhi salam is such a great creation of Allah Ta'ala, so huge. They say if his left wing has to, if his, both his wings have to open, they will cover the whole sky. The west and the east of the sky will be covered if both his wings open. Such a big creation of Allah Ta'ala. So, he said, past this point, I can't go, O Nabi of Allah, only you can go. So Nabi of Allah went, and in front of Allah Ta'ala, nobody else has got this virtue, not any angel, not any creation of Allah Ta'ala. He went to the highest point, and he saw Allah Ta'ala, and he conversed with Allah Ta'ala. And Nabi alayhi salam, when he was taking, according to one riwayat, when Nabi alayhi salam was trying to take off his shoes out of respect, Allah Ta'ala told him that don't take off your shoes. So Nabi alayhi salam said that I don't understand, O Allah. You told Musa alayhi salam to take off his shoes on the mountain, but you're telling me not to take off my shoes here in your court. He said that time, according to one riwayat, that time that we wanted the barakah of that mountain to enter Musa alayhi salam. Now we want your barakah to enter the mountain. What a Nabi, what an occasion. So we understand salah from this, the great gift of salah from this. And the benefits of salah are great. See, after iman, the first thing to come in merit is salah. See, salah is the most important. Salah has been ordained for us 5 times a day. See, 5 times a day salah had been ordained for us. And salah has many, many benefits. Salah, first of all, is a light for the face. Today, people are plagued with depression. People are plagued with anxiety. People are plagued with stress. Different worries. People are plagued, they're worried that I can't get my rizq, I can't get this, I can't get this. The answer to all of this is in salah. First of all, this depression. Allah Ta'ala says in Quran that surely through remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, that the hearts find contentment and the hearts are eased through this remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. And one of the greatest forms of the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala is the salah. أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ Allah Ta'ala mentioned in Surah Taha that establish salah for my remembrance. So the salah is also a remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. See, salah helps in enduring our difficulties. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ That Allah Ta'ala is saying that, O you who believe, endure your difficulties with patience and salah. The salah will help us in all our difficulties. It is stated about one sahabi that he came home and he asked his wife, is there any food? She said, no, there's no food. Immediately, look at the minds of sahaba. Look at the minds of sahaba. They didn't turn to anything else. They immediately turned to salah. They say when the commandment of salah came, sahaba were overjoyed. They were rejoicing because this was a way that they could directly draw from the treasures of Allah Ta'ala. In the nations of the past, they had to go to the Nabi and they had to ask that, can you please ask Allah Ta'ala, we want this. Can you please ask Allah Ta'ala, we want that. But this ummah, we can ask directly from Allah Ta'ala. Such a great virtue, such a great benefit. See? So, the salah, the sahabi came home and he asked his wife, is there any food in the house? He said, no. Immediately, sahabi went into the masjid, he performed wudu and he performed salah. He performed two rakats of salah and he beseeched Allah. He said, Ya Allah, grant me rizq. Grant me food. He went home, he asked his wife, that is there any food now? His wife said, no. Immediately, not thinking that, no, my Allah didn't give, thinking there's something wrong with my salah, because definitely the promise of my Allah is that He will fulfill my need through salah. So there's something wrong with my salah or my wudu. So he went back into the masjid, made wudu again, and he performed salah again, second time. He came home again, he asked his wife, is there any food in the house? Again she said no. Again he went back to the masjid, not thinking that my Allah is not giving, thinking there's something wrong with my salah. The third time, fourth time he came back, the grinding mill, it was grinding the wheat. It was flowing, and it was just flour coming out. So, amazed. Anybody would be amazed. And his wife was busy making bread. Anybody would be amazed. So he opened the lid of that grinder. As soon as he opened that lid, it stopped. The next day, he went to Nabi alayhi salam and explained the incident. This also shows that Sahaba needed anything in their lives, they used to go to Nabi alayhi salam. And they used to report to him and tell him about any condition of their lives. See? So how we should go to our mashayikh, our ulama. So he goes to Nabi alayhi salam and he narrates the incident. Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam says that if you didn't lift that lid up, that grinder would have carried on till the day of Qiyamah. This is the power of salah. One day Nabi alayhi salam comes home. He asks Aisha radiallahu anha, is there any food in the house? She says, no, there's no food. Immediately Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam goes into the masjid. He doesn't turn to anybody. There were many rich sahaba. Any sahabi would have assisted Nabi alayhi salam without any hesitation. Immediately he goes into the masjid. Behind every pillar he read salah. He performed salah and beseeched Allah Ta'ala. While he was gone, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu comes to the house and he delivers a gift to Aisha radiallahu anha of some food and a camel. When Nabi alayhi salam returns, he asks that, who sent this? He said, Umar. He said, today I'm pleased with Umar. Today I am pleased with Umar. But the point is that through the salah is such a great thing that Allah Ta'ala does. Allah Ta'ala does through the salah. The way to gain Allah Ta'ala's treasures is through the salah. Salah five times a day gives five virtues. First of all, the daily rizq. Every person is in worry. How must I get this rizq? How must I get this? How must I get that? I'm worried about putting food on the table. Five times salah every day in the masjid will grant us this. With ease, we'll be contented with what Allah Ta'ala gives us. It doesn't mean that we'll become a millionaire overnight if we read salah. But it means that if we perform our salah, what we need will be given to us easily, without any stress, without any worry. Today we see people in their business place, in their workplace, they're always worried, they're always stressed out, they're anxious, how I'm going to put food on the table, how I'm going to make ends meet. This five times salah will grant us this ni'mat without any difficulty. And the second virtue is that it saves one from the torment in the qabr. Now on this, there's one story. When they were extending the highway from Madinatul Munawwara to Makkatul Mukarrama, they were passing through one town, and on the way in the way of the highway, there was one qabristan. And this qabristan, the last person to be buried there in this graveyard, the last person to be buried there was 30 years ago. The last person to be buried was 30 years ago. So they started removing bodies, half dilapidated, half eaten, whatever. And they were moving the bodies out. And they reached one body in the middle of the qabristan of a young boy, a young man. And they saw that his face was fresh. The color of his skin wasn't changed. It was in the exact position as if he had just passed away today. So they started, this contractor said, no, we have to find out. This is a great thing. Maybe you don't understand. So they found out, they identified him. They could identify his face also. Everything was intact. So they found his father and they asked his father, is this your son? He said, yes, this is my son. He's still in the same condition. He said, yes, he's still in the same condition. He said, what deed did he do that was so great to leave him in this condition? The father says that this child, he did nothing extraordinary in his life. All he did was that 10 minutes before every adhan of every salah, his wudu used to be done and he used to be made. It gave him such a great bounty that his body is in the same position as if he passed away yesterday or two. You can still recognize every part of his body. You still recognize his face. There was a shine, there was a glow on his face. They say to such an extent, there was still a drop of water. There was still a drop of water on his nose, as if he had just cried, as if he had just passed away at that time. And so everybody is perturbed, worried that how am I going to receive my record on the day of Qiyamah in my right hand? By reading the Salah 5 times a day, we'll receive our record in the right hand. And we'll pass the full Sirat at the speed of lightning. And we'll enter Jannah without any reckoning. And Salah is such a thing, it takes us for Hajj and Umrah in our places. Wherever we are, wherever we can be at our hometown, it can take us for Hajj and Umrah. The hadith of Nabi alayhi salam comes, the person who performs Ishraq Salah, he'll get the thawab of an accepted Hajj and Umrah. But one point here, it doesn't mean that we don't have to go for Hajj and it comes compulsory. It means that the reward is such, at such a level, it will give us the reward and the bounties of Hajj. See? And Salah, today everybody's trying. Say, I'm involved in this sin. Come to Mawlana Sahib, come to Shaykh. I say, you know what, I have this sin, I have that sin, I have this problem, that problem. See? I can't leave this sin. I can't stop looking at the opposite gender. I can't stop lustful glances. I can't stop TV. I can't stop this. I can't stop this. In the ayah of Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, Inna salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. Surah 21, the first ayah. Allah Ta'ala is saying that surely salah, it restrains you from indecent acts. And it restrains you from immoral acts. And it restrains you from evil acts. Allah Ta'ala's promise, Inna salah. Surely Allah Ta'ala is putting emphasis that salah will restrain us from all this. See? So, we hear Mawlana Abdul Hamid Sahib over and over, Hazrat in the Khanqa, when somebody comes and he say that, Hazrat, listen, I have a problem, I can't stop looking at the opposite gender lustfully. Hazrat, what remedies he gives? He says, in Salah, keep your eyes at the right places. When you're in Qiyam, then you look at the place of Sajda. When you're in Ruku, you look at the toes. When you're in Sajda, you look at the nose. When you're in Jalsa, you look at the left. And when you're making salam, we look at the shoulders. Hadrat says, if you can control your eyes in salah in that manner, then out of salah you'll be able to control yourself. So salah is a natural restraint from bad deeds. And automatically you become the friend of Allah Ta'ala. اِتَّقُوا الْمَحَارِمْ تَكُنَ عَبَدَ النَّاسِ. That if you stay away from, Nabi alayhi salam's hadith, that if you stay away from that which is haram, then you'll become the greatest worshipper of Allah Ta'ala. Amongst all the people, you'll become the greatest worshipper. See? So, in this way, if we read Salah, it will be easy to leave sin. And once we leave sin, automatically we become the friend of Allah Ta'ala. It is that easy. But, on the other hand, see, if we do not read Salah, imagine Nabi alayhi salam on his deathbed, Nabi alayhi salam is passing away in his last gasps of life. What is he saying? Salah, Salah, Salah. Still fikr for this ummah. Whole life fikr for this ummah. When the angels came down and asked Nabi alayhi salam how much sacrifice he made for us. Imagine, when the angels came down and asked Nabi alayhi salam, do you want to live as a king? Do you want to have as much wealth as a king? Or do you want to live like a beggar? Do you want to live like a slave? Nabi alayhi salam said, I choose to live like a slave. To sacrifice for this ummah. He asked Allah Ta'ala, imagine, that Ya Allah, make my sakarat more. Make my pangs of death more. So the pangs of death of my ummah can be relieved. Imagine on the day of Qiyamah, the whole... Every single Nabi from the galaxy of Anbiya, what will be crying? Ya Rabbi Nafsi Nafsi. Every person, as soon as the Jahannam screams, Ka'b Ahbar radiallahu anhu says that when Jahannam screams, even if you have the ibadat of 70 Anbiya, you still feel that Allah Ta'ala is going to throw you in Jahannam. See? So that Nabi will be crying, Ya Rabbi Ummati Ummati, on that day. Do you want to come on that day and disappoint that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? No. Imagine one salah, it comes in one hadith, that a person who neglects one salah, he'll stay in Jahannam for the period of one haqab. One haqab is equal to 80 years of 360 days each. And one day in the year after is equal to 1,000 years of this life. One day is equal to 1,000 years of this life. You did the calculations, it equals 28,800,000 years of this world. For one salah, is it worth it? It's not worth it. See? For one salah won't take us more than 30 minutes. One salah will bring us so much happiness. That sajda of the true ibadah of Allah Ta'ala is more pleasurable than a king sitting on his thrones. See? It's more pleasurable than the king sitting on their thrones. So for one salah, for half an hour, maximum half an hour, you want to sacrifice 28,800,000 years, you do the calculation. Profit or loss? Huh? It's a great loss. 30 minutes, 28 million years, it's not worth it. See? But nothing to despair. We can still turn back to Allah Ta'ala. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. That Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is ordered to say to the... How Allah Ta'ala is saying this also. That ibad, that, O Nabi, say to my slaves who have transgressed against themselves. Allah Ta'ala is not saying that say to the pious slaves. No, not to the pious. Allah Ta'ala is saying to my slaves who have transgressed. Although we have transgressed, Allah Ta'ala is still calling us his slaves. Allah Ta'ala is still calling us his slaves. What a merciful Allah. So Allah Ta'ala is saying, tell them, La taqnatu min rahmatillah. That do not become despondent of the mercy of Allah. There's a way out. Qadha has been created. Whatever salah we have missed in the past, let us try to make qadha of it. Inshallah. And in the future, whatever salahs are going to come, try to perform them, inshallah. I've compiled a qadha sheet, which will be easy to build up our qadhas, to make up our qadhas. This sheet, I'll spread it around now. It's, salah is the most important thing in our lives. If you don't have salah, everything will go wrong. The Mufti Radha al-Haq Sahab, Madrasa Zakaria, he continuously says that when a student comes late for class, then he says, no, this morning you were late for Fajr Salah. And the student says, gee, I was late for Fajr Salah. If the student made a mistake, he said, you made a mistake in Salah today. If the student can't concentrate in class, he says, you didn't concentrate in Salah properly today. Salah is everything of our lives. If our Salah comes right, everything in our lives will come right. And the way to sort out our affairs with other people, see, is through the Salah also. The men in the masjid, unity will be built when we stand next to each other and we read Salah. And the affairs between the creation and the Creator will be sorted out when we sorted our Salah. And as soon as we sorted affairs with our Creator, Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, then immediately the affairs between people will become sorted out. You see so much rivalry, so much fights, even between brother and sister, between siblings, between mother and son, so much rivalry, so much fighting. This is because our connection with Allah Ta'ala is not right. When the connection with Allah Ta'ala will come right, our connection with people will come right. So we can calculate how many years we've missed Salah, how many months we've missed Salah, and we can put in the month there. And the easy way is that our ulama explained, Mawlana Sharif Sahib, Damat Barakatuhu, Madrasa Zakaria, always explains that if we do not perform the sunnah of every salah, and we, in that place of the sunnah, we perform the qadha of the salah that we've missed until we've completed, until we've covered up all our salah, then in that way, we'll cover up our salah very quickly. It won't become extra difficult. You say, now I missed 10 years, I missed 20 years. No, it won't become difficult. The Fajr salah, in the two rakats, we perform the two rakats of qadha. Zuhr time, we perform, instead of performing the four sunnat, we perform the four farad qadha. We start from the first month. So I've compiled this, inshallah, I'll pass it around. Everybody can take one, inshallah. And we can all make our qadha right, inshallah. And Allah Ta'ala has promised a great thing for salah. He promised us Jannah. First his pleasure, first Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. And with Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, we get Jannah. And what is this Jannah? Every one of us, we want something unique. And to show our friends, you know, I have a unique watch. Nobody has the same watch. Nobody has this Rado watch in school, you know. Nobody has this Samsung S6, you know. Samsung S6 came out yesterday. See? Nobody has the Samsung S6. I only have it. See? So this Jannah is such a place. أَعْدَدْتُ لِعِبَادِ الصَّالِحِينَ مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. Such a place, such a unique place, that no eye has ever seen this place, and no ear has ever heard a story of this place. And even further, imagine it, hearing is limited, seeing is limited, but the heart, the imagination is unlimited. Even in that unlimited place, Allah Ta'ala is saying, no heart has ever imagined a place like that. Such a place, such a unique place Allah Ta'ala has given us. So, inshallah, we're all ready to get this Jannah. Inshallah.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صدق الله العظيم.
Allah Tabarak Ta'ala created in this world an imtihan. This is a test, and no one likes tests. The only time you don't like school is when the exams come. Madrasa, we have 3 exams. And when you're in the first year, second year, third year, you go downstairs. So when you were in madrasa, we used to say that this is the qabr. Every time that imtihan comes, it's cold also, the basement. But an imtihan is an imtihan. Who likes an exam? You're sitting at night, you're studying. That is why after the exam you go wild. You just like want to rest. Even if you failed, you will see that boy will also be partying. You say, I'll get my results next week, but tonight I'm partying. Why? Exams is over. No one likes exams, but without an exam, there can never be progress. If you can't prove something, you can't go further. So a coward is the man who runs from the exam, and a stupid man is the one who doesn't know he's writing the exam. Now what happened to us? We came in this world, and everyone, if you ask him, why did you come? Even if he's a believer, he'll look at you like, I never thought of it. But we all know we're here for some reason. We all know we have to read our salah, but it is because we have to read salah. If we don't read, daddy will shout us, oh, it's farz on me. But we never thought that what is the purpose of the salah? Why can't I look at every girl who looks pretty? If someone says, appreciate the qudrat of Allah, the power of Allah, then this is the best place to appreciate. If you go to a house and a girl made a cake, and she's so thrilled about the cake, but you full, how she'll feel? She'll say, all my effort was to make that cake. Now if your mind has to work backwards, now you'll go out in the world and you'll say, look at this girl who Allah made. So beautiful, if I don't look at her, I'm not appreciating. So you'll make the man seen. But now the command came, don't look. Now who likes that? See, when you get married, you only allowed one. Now matter how smart that girl looks before marriage, and how you die for her, you want her. I had a friend recently, in the last 3 months, every 3 days he would come ask me, make dua, she says yes, make dua, she says yes. So I would tell her, she must be someone so unique, that the way you making dua, so I told him, the day you get married, after about 1-2 months, I want to see you, how you behave with your wife. It's never the same. You'll never die then. You'll die before, you'll be sending her messages. At night you won't sleep. Ask a man who gets married, if his wife now tries to keep him awake 5 minutes later at night, he'll scream at her. But before marriage, why? Because the exam before marriage was of attraction, and after the marriage it's of reality. Now you're being tested. So before marriage your wife looked the best. After marriage her sister-in-law becomes the best. That is why Sharia said don't look. Because normally if you don't make parada in your house, you will see the men in the pious family, so-called pious, what they'll do? They'll put the woman on that side of the dastarkhan and the men on the side. And they say that we don't want them to be next to each other. But the eye is the one that does everything, and everyone knows it. So I met one friend of me, so he said, no, we sit like this here, so like, there's biryani between trouble. Meaning the woman is there, the man is here, you got food in between, so man will look at the food. So I said that on Eid day I can guarantee you that when you are looking at the biryani, your eye will go past the biryani to your sister-in-law. And if yours does, then you can be definite that your brother is looking at your wife. And every man likes to look at another woman, but no man likes someone to look at his wife. Now why will that man look at the sister-in-law? The reason is the exam continues. If Allah Ta'ala had to make that after you get married, all your desires are finished, then there's no exam left. Now why there must be an exam? The first is, why must we know there is an exam? If you don't know there's an exam, what's the exam? It's an exam of cricket, you can call it. The day you came in the house, there was shaitan and a world of shayateen. They got one mission to prove to Almighty Allah that you are not loyal and that you are deserving of Jahannam and that you will go with them. As shaitan stood up to Allah and he said, I don't need you and I don't want you. So shaitan has to now pinpoint in the world those who also say the same thing. So every person, shaitan will say, he is the same. He doesn't want Allah. He doesn't need Allah. He must be mine. And Almighty Allah will say, then you have to prove it. How you prove it in a game of cricket? You that last batsman who's walking out. You only got couple of runs to score. The whole world wants you out. That bowler, how he's going to bowl? And how the fielders are going to be? And you're not the best batsman. Because you are young and immature. If you were an old sheikh with a long beard, you had studied Quran and Sunnah, you might be an experienced batsman. You know the exam, you know the bowler, you know the fielders, you know where to hit. But you are such a person who has never batted before. Because you are what is called, just from immaturity you became mature. And a boy who is immature, his only world is games, his only world is toys, his only world is cars, his only world is pretty woman. He never ever thinks about, why am I mature? The only thing he knows is, last night I had a heavy dream, and today I'm mature. But what made you now mature? So this mind might take about 10, 20, 30 years to mature. During that time, shaitan grabs. Because he knows you are immature. You will find many people when they reach the age of 40, they say, I want to change my life. But we ask them, why didn't you change your life from the age of 15? They say, no one told us. The reason was, I was a batsman, but I was immature. For that reason, we now have these programs. That if that immature person, before time can become mature, and you know if you are the best batsman of the country at the age of 15, what will your condition be at the age of 40? In the cricket world, you'll retire at the age of 40. But in Islam, you just get stronger, stronger. But why doesn't a boy want to become mature? So that's what we will discuss now. The first thing, if you don't know you're writing the exam, you will be like a batsman who doesn't know you're betting. So because you're looking at that bowler, but before the bowler, there was someone in the stadium who started playing a game with lights. And he managed to hit it on your light. So because you're immature, you never know this is a trick. So you look up. As soon as you look up, the whole game is gone. That bowler now sees your attention is gone. You don't even know you're writing the exam. Because you don't know you're writing the exam, you cannot save yourself from that ball that's coming. That is when shaitan bowls many people out. If Allah Ta'ala never have something called a second magnet, then all of us would have been bowled out long time. What is that second magnet? You see that batsman, he looks up. Now he looks at the stadium. What is that stadium that he looks? You're writing the exam of the Akhirah. In the exam, you are being questioned daily of loyalty. You are being questioned of obedience to parents, which we all know no one passes in that. You say, ah, come on, mommy. That one, come on, mommy, means you failed. And then when you go out and that girl says something, example, if you married, you will understand, but when you're not married, your mind can still work it out. You might have heard your father sometimes, that your mother told him, you know, I need milk today, or I need potatoes. So he got angry. He said, I just went shops yesterday. You couldn't tell me yesterday. You always do this. But it was only a bag of potatoes. 5 minutes later, you will hear the phone ringing, and someone will say, hey, I'm sorry to disturb you, but it's a pretty girl. So you say, I'm so sorry. I'm disturbed. You say, no, no, no. Whatever you want. Now she says, I just need 10 minutes of your time. He says, no problem. No, you want me to come over, or you want to come? Now you'll wonder, how come when mommy asked for potatoes, daddy became so angry? But when Prati asked for 5 minutes, daddy became thrilled. It's called an exam. That exam now, if someone knows his writing, then he will look at the two questions. Why I became angry with my halal wife, and why I became happy with haram. So he will say, I failed here and I passed. Which means I got a tick here. I got a cross here. It can't work. I'm losing points. Then he will change the whole thing. Then that man will speak with a slightly gruff voice to haram, although she is pretty. And he will sweet with a sweet voice to his old wife, even if she is not so grand. If you get a man who knows he's writing an exam, even if his wife is old, and she's wrinkled, and she lost her beauty, and she's fat, you hear when he speaks to her, he will speak with love. Which one great alim used to say, when you are old, 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 you must also write poetry to your wife. So he said, in Urdu you write one poetry. He said, oh my doll. So the word doll is like guria. And then he said, oh my doll. But doll, she's not a doll anymore. Now she's like, but you can tell her, a woman gets thrilled, anything you tell her. Say, oh my doll. But who will write it? A man when it's haram. He'll never write it to his halal wife. He said, oh my doll. And he said, oh my packet of sugar. Now who will ever say it? The only man we know nowadays who will call his wife sugar is that one man who was at one concert, one party. So there was a young man and an old man. So the old man told his wife, sugar, can you pass me the sugar? So he got thrilled, like, what a romance in this life. After a while he needed some barfi, so he said, barfi, can you give me the barfi? So this man was like, thrilled, what name, how he's calling his wife. So for everything he gave her one new name. So after a while he told the man, I don't know how you do it. I'm only married few years and we only fight. I can't call my wife one sweet name. So this man said, I also never used to call her names, but the day I forgot her name, now I have to make up these names now. So you get old, you forget. Now you say, sugar, sweetheart, barfi, you don't know what she is, but if you can with this, that I'm writing an exam, how you'll pass? Then haram, to pull away is not easy. Many of our friends told us the reason why they don't put that internet off when that pretty picture comes on is because it's smart. I want to look. So we told them, do you think we don't want to look? Many people think a pious man is a man who doesn't like to see haram. A man who's so pious that he doesn't want to see the body of a woman. A man who's pious is a man who doesn't think of woman. A man who's pious is when a woman walks past, he doesn't even notice. So if you ever become like that, it means your body strength is lost. Means you masturbated so much that from a man you now became a woman. There is nothing left in you now. Desire you have to have. And the proof of it is, even if a great sheikh gets married, after the nikah takes place, what do you think he does on his first night? Because if you think piety got nothing to do with a woman's body, what he does? You think on the first night he lift up his hands and say, oh Allah, give me a child, oh Allah, give me a child. He's also not going to read the Hajjud that night. Why? Because he also got as much desire like you got. The only difference is, he understood I'm writing an exam. When you're writing an exam, you learn the first thing is, if you're driving a fast car, whenever we found our friends learning to drive, the first thing a young boy does when he's driving, he drives fast. Whenever you learn to drive slowly, you will always learn to drive fast after that. But a man who learns to drive fast, he'll have an accident. Even in Quran, if you learn Quran how to read slowly, you can always read fast. You learn to read fast, you can't read slow. When a boy, the first day his father gives him a car, what makes him go like, and presses? It's because no one told him, you'll always do that your whole life. But to learn to drive, drive slowly. You learn everything of the car, and then you can go how much you want. In this girl, world of girls, if you also go like this and you press, you'll do everything. When you're young, you'll lose everything. But if you learn to go slowly, to understand what is a exam of a girl, what is the exam of pictures, what is the exam of filth and haram, you will also go through everything. Islam hasn't stopped a man enjoying woman. Rather, Islam said you can get four wives, where the rest of the world can only have one wife, and they have to cheat on the others. Islam gave you four wives. And Islam allowed you to go out of your way. But Islam said, learn how to drive first. Learn where to turn, so you don't have an accident. Now if you don't know you are batting, and that bowler bowls, your wicket supposed to have been gone long time. The only thing that is protecting our wicket, is that after that bowler bowled, and it was coming right for the stump, there was a certain wind that blew. That wind blew so hard that that ball went just past the stumps. And you all know if it just passes the stumps and the batsman is like shocked, because he's looking out, then the bowler will go, ah! And the fielders will go, ah, and Shaitan goes, ah. Meaning I just missed him. And now he's going to start again. Game two. And Shaitan is going to make his long walk again. And that man on the top is going to try to get you. And Shaitan only wants to pull your iman. When he pulls it, then you fall. And there are a couple of ways of pulling it. But we have noticed in the world, there are certain that Shaitan becomes thrilled with. In a married world, it is with divorce. If a husband tells his wife, I get out of my house, you divorced. Divorce is no haram action. It is allowed in the Shariat. But the arsh of Almighty Allah shakes with divorce. Shaitan stands up and hugs the other Shaitan. Good work, why? Because on one divorce, that whole family breaks. Now the son got no mummy. He got no father. Now he has to go live with one auntie. Now the mother is squaring the father. The father is swearing the mother. The boy is always wondering. That's one action. Another action that you can't go back again is the action of drugs. Shaitan only needs to pull you. Pull you. Pull you. And once you pop the one, your world will go haywire after that. What you will do after that later on in life, you will never imagine. One boy came home drugged. A person's love normally is to his sister. So even if he's a filthy man on the streets, and every night he sleeps with a different woman, but if any man is to ever tell his sister something, you will see how he will punch him. See how dare he, although he does it with all the women, but the man loves his sister. And he wants his sister never to be harmed. This boy comes home at night, he's drugged. A sister loves a brother like a brother loves a sister. So she sees him. And normally your sister will catch you out faster than your mother and father. So she speaks to him that morning. And she says, you can't carry on like this here. So he goes to his friends and he speaks to his friends. His friends now are worried, it's a Muslim country, so you get caught with drugs, you got a major problem. Especially the man selling the drugs. Because he'll be killed. So they tell the boy that if you don't sort out your sister, you are ruined, you're ruining all of us. He asked them, what do you mean I must sort out? You want me to kill her? I can't kill her. He said, no, you don't have to kill her. All you do is one drop. This one tablet, just put it in a coffin. That's all. But when man is in drugs, he can't think. How deep must I go? Because this drug pulls. It pulls. There are certain bait, if the fish bites, it can always pull out. The fisherman tries to pull it in, but the fish gets out. That's certain haram action. And then there are certain baits that get caught so hard in the fish that even the fisherman laughs as the fish is pulling. And if someone says, are you not scared of your fish? He says, the bait will do everything. This drug is that there. Drugs were not from the beginning. It was a shaitani, dajjali invention. There was a need to bring man to open up with the world of the jinn. There was a need to bring the jinn into man. There are angels that don't allow the jinnat to come too close, to remove those angels completely, and to open up a barrier, and to let man walk in that world so that the jinn can now approach. That they don't have to come, he will enter the world. Something had to be created which is called visa for this flight. They worked and they worked and they worked on the drug. First it was tried in non-Muslim countries. When it was created, it was sent to China, Japan. The king that time, when he realized what it's doing to his people, he put a law, it must not be allowed. At that time, Britain and America were one country. They made war against China and Japan. It was called the drug war. And until that king allowed, or he was removed and somebody else was brought in, that the drugs will be allowed to move through. It had to be tested to perfection. It went through stage after stage. You are now young in a world of drugs. You don't know the old drugs what it was. How every day it goes to a new level. How your phones are changing every day. And you're getting 0.6, 0.7, whatever it was. Every drug changes. And each drug takes you to a new level of the world of the jinn. That one bait, so Shaitan threw it in. So that boy was caught in the drug. They told him, one tablet for your sister. He dropped it. While having coffee, he and his sister are discussing and she takes it. It had to be a strong drug. And a girl, when she loses her haya, she goes worse than the boy also. When a girl loses it, she goes mild. A boy can still control. A girl, that's why you don't ever teach a girl how to drive. Because if a boy can make accidents, a girl can make more accidents. When she has to learn speed, she can't control. So she went. And what happens when you take the drug, you fly? Where are you flying? A lot of people say, I saw things. I thought I'm in Chicago, I thought I'm going in space. Where you were going in the world of the jinn, that's why. Sometimes the jinn will smile at you. Sometimes a pretty face will come in front. And a jinn can make itself very beautiful, very smart. One friend of ours connected with a jinn. So I asked him how she looks. He says, more beautiful than you can ever imagine. So I asked him, doesn't it thrill you then that she comes to you? He says, it frightens me out of my life. Because while he was not married, it was a thrill. He would always feel some feelings on his body. But after he got married, it became qiyamah. Every time he's trying to go to his earthly wife, Mrs. Jinn is interfering. Because of which, before he can even reach to his wife, everything comes out. So his wife, after a while, wondered, something wrong with you. You just start and your match is over. So he had to explain to her. His wife was shocked. I asked him, what you call this? You can't call it an affair. Because her affair is another woman. He said, I had to tell my, his wife is an alima. How she had to take it? Every time I'm going to my husband, somebody else is involved. How much of ta'weez, how much of amal? But it was no joke for him. Because that thing was so jealous of he and his wife now. That every time he had a desire to go to his wife, he would get a stomach ache, a headache. She would get it. Stomach would start paining. And then when she fell pregnant, that thing wanted to make sure the child never comes out alive. So I met him just after his wife gave birth to the second child. He said the amount of torment she went through in the hospital, every machine was failing. The nurse finally came and told him, I don't think she'll make it. One amil in another country is making dua one way, he's sending his jinn, there's a fight taking place in the... Finally that child came out. His wife, she had to remain at home for about a month, just flat on the bed. There was nothing left in her. It was a war to make sure the child, what was it, one jinni that caught him. It's not easy. Now when you take that drug, you open up your world. So that girl took it, she was flying. She was gone, she was wild. And you're still immature because you don't know what you're betting. You don't know who sent the question. You don't know what it was. So, lucky it is, man. So now she told her brother, what was that? He said, that's the same thing that you told me to stop. Now you can think I can stop it. She was knocked out. And the girl starts, this is a crave. You see the dog when it pants, that drug makes you do the same. That you can't get it, now you start panting. You want it, no matter what, you need it. So he and his sister now would go. He would get the drug, she would get the drug. Whatever money was being put in, get. And drugs start cheap, but it doesn't stay cheap. Shaitan loves to see man suffering. So you will see the man's body becoming thin. You will see his hands becoming thin. You will see he's injecting himself. You will see him fighting. You will see his eyes, he's lost. Even a Muslim will see him, will say, he doesn't want to make salam also. How Shaitan laughs, I got him. That's that fish going wild. Trying to come out of the water, but it can't come out. Because Shaitan is laughing, I got him. The bait of Shaitan, if you don't understand, and you bite when you're young. Later on at the age of 40, everyone wants to change. But it's not easy after that. It's when you young become mature. Be the batsman from now. You will learn every technique of your enemy. And you will be able to bat him out. But don't act immature now. I want to enjoy it now and make tawbah later. It don't work. Because the bait is too strong. So going. Now the money is finished. The boy can still control himself. I got no money, let's wait. The girl is panting. She tells her brother, let's go ask the man. Can't he give us on loan? When you meet a drug lord, you'll meet him at night normally. You don't go during the day, you get caught. They land up at the house. He speaks to the man. Drug lords are like that. They got no interest in man. They are shaitans themselves. So the man says, I can give you a drug, but no loans taken. You have to pay. If you can't pay with money, no problem. That girl outside, who's that girl? She was in Parada, this girl. Although she was on drugs. Because in the Arab lands, normally they grow up with this year. No one must see my face. And a woman who's in Parada, even if she's not smart, she looks smart. Everyone will know that. You see an auntie walking and she got Parada, you also want to know, I wonder how she looks. She doesn't have to be smart. So the drug lord, when he saw someone in Parada, automatically,
He says, who's that? My sister. There's no problem. Leave your sister for the night and you get what you want. And he got no sharam. So that boy wanted to punch him. Because how you talk? Give him your sister. Like, she's a prostitute. So he just banged the door in his face and get lost, and he saw him, whatever. He told his sister, asked, what's happening? He said, no, don't worry about it. He didn't know what happened, and he just got in. And the car coming. So he must have told his sister that filthy thing, evil thing, he wanted your body. And they came home, and then they're sitting talking, and then he told his sister, you know what? Can't carry on like this. Let's stop this thing completely. Let's fight it. Let's do what we have to. Go to a rehab, whatever you want. We can't tell anyone, but stop it. So he stopped it, she stopped it. And now everything is okay, undercover. Now because her marks in school were so bad, she had to tell her father she wants to go for what is called tuition. He was also carrying on his life. More money is needed for tuition. Life is carrying on. Then the night comes when he's panting again. Now he wants the drug, but he doesn't want to tell his sister. So he will go late at night to that man's house. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, he will knock at the door. The man supposed to answer, instead of the man answering, but his sister answers. And she is in her nightgown, dressed in not normal nightgown, that kind of nightgown, what they dress in. And she's bloodshot, meaning she's lost. She's another world. She has become a prostitute used by everyone. She couldn't manage the panting. So she quietly went to the man. And she told the man, if you want a night, no problem. I need the thing. And not one night, she became the man's pet then. He could use her. Everyone could use her. A woman lost her whole izzat. So that boy looking at his sister, and she doesn't even recognize him. So he will come home, he's shocked. He's got a nightmare. Whole night he's thinking, what to do? Do I tell father? Don't I tell father? How can this happen? And before Fajr, there's a phone call. And Allah Tabaruk Tala has a system. That your time has to come up. Which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, make dua. That you get protected from sudden death. So someone asked the other day that an accident is also sudden death. But when someone passes away in an accident, isn't it shahadat? You are shaheed. So why are you asking dua for shahada? That you don't want shahada. So someone explained very beautifully, every sudden death is not a problem. But that sudden death is a problem. That you are involved in such a sin. And death comes so fast that you don't get the chance to pull out. That's sudden death. So the morning call was, there was an accident. And the boy already worked out the whole thing. Heard the father saying, what, where, who? She, how can she be there? And the boy understood it, he broke down. They went out after that night, they were both drugged for wherever they were going, maybe on another trip to meet someone. And there was an accident. That girl whose body was never seen without parda will be found that morning. But one man who's known for drugs, what she's doing there, how she landed there, only the boy will know. So he wrote a unique story in Arabic, this boy. But the part of it which was most unique was how he ended it. He said, oh Allah, if anyone has to burn in Jahannam, then let it not be my sister, rather let it be me. For had it not been my stupidity, she would never have landed where she landed. But what was it, one bait of shaitan? He pulled the whole family into destruction. One bait. So to know who your enemy is and to see his laugh, how he hates you. That's it. But because we don't see the ball coming, Allah Tabaruk Tala made winds. That wind just blows the ball and it goes and we get saved. And you get saved again and you get saved again. And Allah Tabaruk Tala loves man, so He'll continue saving man. Giving you chance. You're the fish that got the hook, but He allows you to come out. Allah put His own magnet. That magnet is called the magnet of your Rahman. There's a certain pull you will sometimes find. You can be in dirt, you can be in filth, you can be in porn, you can be in everything. One friend wrote that I tried everything in the world because of money. When you got money and you got no wife, you can spend it on anyone, everywhere. So where his friends, which country they visit, and in every country you tried the girls, you tried the drinks, you tried the life. But what else is there after that? If a man can sleep with every woman's body in the ending, her personality might be different, but the body is going to be the same. So you went here, now it becomes like, biryani is tasty if you don't get it all the time. What happens with a man who has biryani every day? After a while he doesn't want it. That man who goes wild in woman, he loses the thrill. So what happens in the Western world? Women now are thrilled with women, and men are thrilled with men. And it's so unreal, but it's so real. So the governments will make laws, it must be allowed. And only one reason the government can be pushing for it, if a lot of times the people in the government themselves need it. They also need boy to boy, girl to girl. After the man now goes to every man, and the woman goes to every woman, then where you go to? Then man goes to animal. And they do it. How many times will you hear that old auntie in England, she died, and she left her whole inheritance to her cat. So someone will say, what to the cat? What she had so much with the cat, but when you find out she had lot with the cat. That was her. Everything was a cat. Cat was a dog. And there was one, two people we heard it was with a lion. So you say like heavy stuff were happening at night. But they did it. Why? Because you become wild. You become mad. You become out of your mind. So Allah Tabaruk Tala put His own magnet. He pulls you. So that boy said, I tried everything. And while I was with my friends in one country, and everyone was like out, knocked. There was a drink here and there was a felt there. And he had a dream. In the dream he sees him standing at the top of a cliff. And there are waves blowing. Very, very heavy waves. And it's hitting on the cliff. Hitting. And he's standing there and he's looking down. And when you're from a high looking down, you really feel I'm going to fall. So he woke up. And he says when he woke up, the end of the dream, he actually feels like the bed is pulling him in. And he's gripped. So he woke up screaming. So his friends all around, everyone is knocked. And people in this world, they don't want to hear the word death. Because they know if I die now, how do I face my Allah? He can't. So he's feeling the pull. And screaming he woke up. So his friends first were all shocked. Everyone was scared. But then someone started laughing. Someone said nightmare. But it was troubling him. So he wrote his dream to an alim. So the one part about the pull, that pull means death. That are you ready to get pulled into the qabr? You're not ready, that's why you're screaming. Why are you not ready? Because you don't want to go home. Why you don't want to go home? Because you know your father will be angry to see you. So how do you make up? You phone the father before coming. And you say, Daddy, I'm sorry. Man makes up with his Allah by saying, Oh Allah, I'm sorry. And when you do that, then you can go home. So that was the pull. And what was the cliff and the waters? So that alim explained to him that, you see, it comes in Quran. Allah Tabaruk Tala speaks of a group of people in a boat. Hatta idha kuntum fil fulk. That remember the time when you were in the boat. Wajarayna bihim birihin tayyiba. And the winds were nice and everyone was very happy in the boat. Life was carrying on, party was carrying on. And suddenly the waters went wild. And now the boat is moving side to side. At that time, da'awullah mukhlisina lahuddin. Everyone now, even if your pretty girl is next to you don't even look at her. Now people's faces change color. Now everyone is thinking, what if I die? So Allah Pak says, at that time you made dua. And you said, la'in anjaytana min hadhihi. Oh Allah, if you save me from this, I promise I'll stop. And Allah Tabarakullah says, falamma. But as soon as Allah made the waters come down, the man acted as though he made no promise to his creator. And everyone goes through it. The day you think you can get caught, that's the time you start making dua. But as soon as you see the fear going, you become normal again. So the alim explained, Allah showed you that definitely you made a promise to Allah once before this. And now Allah Tabarakullah put you on that cliff. And he reminded you, remember the times when you were in the water, and the water was going wild, and how you told your Allah, I promise I'll change, but you never changed. So that was now that. Then he decided, I must come out of it. And he came out, pulling out, not easy, but he pulled out. And when man pulls out, Allah Tabarakala pulls him. There's a boy in every family you will get, if you are three brothers, four brothers, you will normally notice three brothers if they are pious. And you the fuck, you will be like the shaitan. It's always the normal. One has to be the one that the father says, you give me all the problem, everything you. This is imtihan, it's the imtihan for the parents. That father thought, I sorted out all my children, and the last one comes and he's the rotten. So this father had three unique children, one rot. So the rot got involved with the wrong friends, using money, filing drugs, taking loans. Finally a time came where they fought with the father. Father told him, you do it again, you get out of the house, you get out. And finally he knew, I can't come home, what I did. So he went. He got lost. He goes with his friends, but friends only stay with you when you got money. When the money goes, they go. And now you're in the gutter. So he remained in the gutter for a while. You still go, you steal, you rob. When you're young, you can do a lot of things. But a time comes where you can't carry on. Now his people who needed the money, they send the threat that if you can't get the money at a certain time, you gone also. And in that drug world, everyone knows you are theirs and then you're not theirs. So that time thinking, how do I go home? So a man thinks, I can't face my father, I can at least phone my mother. Man fears. Allah tabaruk ta'ala got no mother and father there. Allah is that loving Allah. That when Allah is angry, nothing can stand against the anger of Allah. And if Allah tabaruk ta'ala is just said, oh Allah, make maaf, that anger immediately changes to mercy. No father in the world can ever be like that. So the boy will phone his mother. And a mother will have an extra love. So she will say, don't worry, I'll sort it out for you. Now when the father comes home, she says, you know what? She just takes that son's name, already the father starts cursing, swearing. You know what and what he did, what and what. He doesn't listen. But that night the mother will make herself pretty, beautiful. She'll go to the father and say, please, please. Now when the father is like on a mood now, she'll say, you must promise me you'll forgive him. Now that time at night everyone say, yeah, yeah, whatever happened, come now. So now finally she forgave. Now when he forgave, now the next day the father will phone. So the boy is crying, daddy, I'm so sorry, daddy, I'm so sorry. And the father say, don't worry about it, whatever it is, come home. Say, but daddy, I got this problem. So the father will get irritated. Say, I'm telling you, just come home. Stop making nonsense. Come home and we'll sort it out. Everything is forgiven. Everything is maaf. Come home. Now when the boy starts coming home, he says, daddy, I got no money for the ticket. So the father will put money immediately. Now the father will arrange. First thing the father will say to the other three sons, that it's already of 15 years your son is coming home, your brother. So when he comes home, don't look at him with a bad eye. Because that's how normally everyone will look at. Now when everything failed, now you saw. The father will say, no, that's the father now. Father is giving in now. Father also got love for his son. Then he'll tell the mother that you know what food he loved. You make that food for it. Why? Because he got that love. A father loves to see his son who ran away. Now how do you think Allah Tabarukala loves to see his servant who has run away? There is that love. Now when that boy comes home, at that day, the other three sons, how they behave? All along they behaved well. He behaved rotten. But on that day, he is the VIP. Whatever he says on the table, everyone will be listening. When he cries, everyone will cry. If he wants something, the dessert will be brought according to him. If he wants to drink something, they'll put it. Why? Because you are the runaway son. Now that father, he got a certain amount of love, but he can never equal to the love of Almighty. The love of Almighty Allah is this love. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke to Arabs. Arabs, their life was the camel. Why was it a camel? Is when you jump on your camel in the desert, a camel is like your GPRS. It can work out a route and it can find water. So even if you're lost in the desert, then if you just turn your camel to say, go home, even on the camel, if you're sleeping, the camel will carry on. So it's your life. On the camel is your food and your water. In the desert, you don't get McDonald's on every corner that you can order. Desert is desert. In a camel, you got a GPRS. Without it, you lost. Because in a desert, you got no signboards. You can turn here, go Johannesburg, you go here. Desert is desert. If you lost in the desert, everything looks the same. You'll never be found. So that man's life is his camel. And in the desert, if a storm is coming, the camel will just stop. 3-4 minutes before the storm hits, the camel will pick it up. It's coming from a certain direction. So the camel will stop. The owner of the camel will understand. He'll look around, he'll see the winds there. The stones that fly in the storm are small. But if they hit the eye, you're blind already. If they hit the face, you're gone. So that man will pick up, it's coming from there. He'll jump. He has to look for a wall. The wall is the camel. The camel will sit. And it will turn its face away from the storm, this way. So the storm is coming from that side. The body of the camel is a wall. All the man will do, he'll put his whole body in the camel now. And he will just stay in the camel. Now when that wind comes, the rocks come, that camel will never stand up and run for its life. The camel will just sit. It'll be blasted with wind, blasted with stones. But the camel is a unique wall, like nothing. And the camel, it got two eyelids. So the one eyelid which is protecting the inside eye will be closed, but it's a see-through eyelid. The other one will be open now and then, so the camel will always look again to see, has the storm come to an end, so look, close his eyes again. Then look again, close his eyes. And the camel will only stand when there is no more sand. Now the man knows that it's all finished. That's his life. Now that man, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, imagine he loses his camel. For some reason, he was taking his camel, he's just going to tie it, and he had an itch, he said, ah! And he just went to itch, and suddenly the camel is gone. The camel goes fast, like how Quran goes. If you leave your Quran 3 days, and then you try and do your door, you'll see gone. Now you try and get it, it's far. Every time you run for it, you're getting one para, the other 5 paras are gone. That's a camel. Never leave your Quran. Even if it means you never read no Quran today, read 2 pages. Even if it says that you know your Quran is weak, just read Quran. Read Waqatabara. Even if it's reading inside, your Quran will remain. Never leave Quran, it's like a camel. Don't ever think I'll get it back Ramzan, that Ramzan never comes. When that camel goes, it's gone. You'll have to start again. And to make your Quran strong later on is harder than doing hifz of Quran also. So if you ever get Quran, keep it. Just read. Keep that rein. Camel is pulling, you just pull back. Now that camel is gone. So that man now in the desert, how are you going to find the camel? He knows it's hopeless. So what he does, he walks around, he sees a tree because it's hot. So he walks towards the tree, but he knows I'm going to die now. And to die, it's easier to die fast than to die slowly. Because now you're sitting under the tree and saying, death come, death not coming. But now you're feeling thirst, you're feeling hunger. Now you're having in a desert when you got no food, you have something called, you see a mirage. In the mirage you see one pretty girl going to Africa. And you see water behind her, you look. And now you start going and you're walking and you're falling and you fall. Suddenly there's nobody there. Now you're looking again, where's the tree, where you are, where's the water, you're going wild. Now you want to die, but you can't die. At that moment now, that man is now semi-conscious, unconscious, this way, that way, and his eyes open, because someone maybe put some spit on him. So he wakes up. When he wakes up, he's looking and he sees the camel looking at him. So the first thing he will think, it's a dream, it's a mirage. But he'll grab immediately the camel first, before the dream comes to an end, let me grab it to make sure. After he grabs it now he'll start feeling the camel. Is it you? Is it real? Is it you? Now you look at his food, he'll wonder, impossible. No camel will ever come back to you. So he becomes so thrilled at that time, this man. But he's mad. He understood my life support came back. Grabbed the camel, he's holding the camel, he's pulling the camel. So in happiness, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he goes mad out of happiness. And in happiness, he wants to say, oh Allah, I'm your servant. But he is so mad in happiness, the words come out upside down. So he ends up saying, oh Allah, you are my servant. Because he's mad in happiness. Now Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told Sahaba radiallahu anhu, you understood the happiness of that man. That man, he only wanted his camel and nothing else. Everything was forgotten, women were forgotten, food was forgotten, phones were forgotten, life was forgotten, fights were forgotten, one camel he wanted. And when he got it, how he went. When Sahaba radiallahu anhu understood that, then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I take qasam on Allah. That when a person makes tawbah, more happier than he becomes with his camel, Allah tabarak ta'ala becomes. But now the question comes, that man found his life support. That's why he went wild with happiness. Allah is Allah. There are angels worshipping Allah. There are pious people worshipping Allah. There were anbiya worshipping Allah. And Allah doesn't need anyone's worship. That man needed the camel, that's why he got happy. Allah doesn't need us. But there is something called love between our Creator and me and you. That love is what makes Allah tabarak ta'ala say, more happier than the man of the camel, I am now with you. Come back home. When man goes, that man will scream in happiness, I got my camel. Allah tabarak ta'ala will announce in happiness, I got my slave back. This is a unique love, this. But understand that love. And this test is the test of loyalty of that love. Can you die for your Allah? If you do it today you behave as the servant of Allah. In Jannah, Allah tabarak ta'ala will make you the king. What is a king? Whatever he wants, he'll ask. You just desire and it will come. But in this world, you have to become Allah's slave. Now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that there will be 2 slaves in this world. And that's the exam he's speaking about. One is the slave of Abdul Dinar with Dirham wal Qatifa. You get a certain man who got money, and who got clothing, who got shoes, who got a phone, who got a car, there's nothing wrong with it. But what the problem becomes when you become the slave of your own money? When you become the slave of your clothing, when you become the slave of your car, the car supposed to be your slave, you the owner. But man, when he gets something which is too much for the heart to handle, he becomes its slave. How you become the slave of your shoes? Shoes were meant to be worn, not to be adored. But that man who likes his brand new 1,000 rand shoe, you will see when he comes to the masjid, he's more worried in his salah, I hope no one steals my shoes. So when everyone is making dua, he's also making dua, oh Allah, my shoe. Now when he goes out, the first thing is worried about my shoe. And you will see that man, he carries in his pocket a sponge. Every time some dust comes on the shoe, you shine the shoe. So that man has become a slave of the shoe. Where you will see it when you get your brand new phone. Your first fikr on the phone, a phone is to talk. But your fikr is not to talk, it's to make sure no scratch ever comes on my phone. So you will buy the cover. What a cover! Why? Because your phone is your boss. So your phone must be looked after. Harm can come to you, but not to your phone. And if the phone goes, you go also. Someone steals your phone, you see how you become dead. You have become a slave to your phone. You can buy another 100 phones. Never allow yourself to become a slave of the world. It will finish you up. The world is your slave. You buy clothing. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw a sahabi with new shoes. So he told him, Mubarak on your new shoes. Wear it, use it, destroy it, and Allah will give you new shoes again. Meaning don't adore it. Wear the shoes to get old. That's why you got shoes. You got a brand new car. You will see a man will tell his son, take out your shoes when you come in the car. But the car got a mat. What's the mat for? For getting dirty. You can wash it 100 times, but because the car is shining, you don't want the shine to go. It can never happen. You get something brand new, when the first crack comes on the window, make shukr to Almighty Allah. That my Allah showed me this thing is not to be adored. Don't ever love with the world, that the world is unique. You will kill yourself. You will die looking after your world. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Ta'isa abdul dinar. The man who becomes a slave of his money, who becomes a slave of clothing, who becomes a slave of the world, he lost everything already. Keep it in your pocket, keep it in your top pocket, keep it at home, never let it become your master. You be the master. And how you understand whether you are a master or you are a slave? There was a bird which was owned by a very rich man. So he kept it in a gold cage. And every beauty was in the cage. But the bird was not the master of the cage. The bird was the slave of the cage. It's a captive. The bird can look at the gold, but the bird is not in charge of the gold. It can't do what it wants, it must stay in that cage. So the master will always say, how lucky you are, bird. Look at your ting ting, and look at your food, and look at your cage, but the bird is not free. So the master going out one day, he says to the bird, I'm going to a certain city, you got any message to give your friends in that city? So the bird will say, if you meet any of my friends, my cousins, my relatives, my brothers, then you tell them that your one brother sent a message that he is living a lovely life in a cage. That's all. Meaning what life? I'm in a cage and we're all in that cage. Because you got a lovely car but you are caged in that car. You got a lovely phone but you are knocked on your phone. I see people who are eating. While they're eating, they're sending WhatsApp message. What kind of eating is that? That man, he got a wife. Everyone dies to get married. And when they get married, they got no thrill of it. So the one woman will write, my husband at night is more interested in sending his WhatsApp, tit it, than he's interested in his wife. What a man whose phone made him captive. If you ever got a phone and you are on WhatsApp, make sure you don't get pulled by WhatsApp. The web is a web. This entire internet is a shaitani trap. And WhatsApp, even if you're sending Islamic messages out, if it's always did it, checking up again, this friend sent a message, that friend, and you got no time for yourself and your family, you must know you are pulled in the trap. You must be a free man. Someone asked me, I sent you a WhatsApp message, I told him the last time I saw my phone was 2 months ago. It's sitting in the cupboard. He said, you don't look at your phone. I told him, if the message is important, you'll find me somehow. I don't have to go look for your message every time, did it, see what's happening. If it's important, you'll find me. Why must I love on a phone? Got so many things to do, don't get pulled. So the bird sends a message that I'm in a cage. Those, now when he goes, he finishes his work in the town, he goes to the jungle. In the jungle he says, "Oh birds, I got a message from your cousin. He's living in a top land in England, in America, in a first class country. And he sent a message, he's living it up lovely in a cage." So all those birds, when they'll hear that, all of them just fell down dead. So this man looking at them is shocked. Now you're going home, now he doesn't know what to tell his bird at home. So he comes home and tell his bird, "Bird, say you gave my message." He say, "I don't know what happened. When I said the message you in a cage, they all died." So suddenly the bird just looked at him like I said, and the bird died. Now this man is shocked that one sentence killed everyone. You in a cage. So now when your bird is dead, what happens? You're going to open the cage, you're going to take out the bird for janazah, for ghusl, whatever you want to do. So he puts it on one side, now he's wondering, checking the kitab, how do you give a bird ghusl? As he's checking up, suddenly he looks and he sees the bird flying. Bird is gone, he runs to the bird, he says, "You idiot bird, you lied." That bird just acted dead. And as it flew, he told him, that was the message. The message that my friends gave in the jungle is, die and you will be given life. Meaning die, you die in this world, and the world will have to open up. When it opens up, you go free. But how you die with technology? You say, "I got nothing to do with technology. If I have to have a phone, I'm not the slave of the phone. I'm the master of the phone. I'm dead." Your friend might tell you, "You die." That girl might tell you, "You haven't got WhatsApp. How do I contact you?" So you dead. You say, "I am a dead man. I got nothing to do with the world." You will be the only one who will be living then. Die and you will be given life. But pull out of this world. When you will pull out of the world, you will see a new reality. What is the new reality? Your reality. To understand that, Hazrat Maulana Abdul Hafiz gives one example and we will end on that there. What you have to become. He says, this man went in the jungle and he was hunting lions. So when he killed Mrs. Lion, he found the cub. One cub, two cub, whatever, he took one, he gave his friend one. He was a farmer. So you bring the lovely cub home, what are you going to do with the cub? First you have to give it milk in the bottle. So you're giving it milk, you're washing its behind, you're cleaning it, you're scrubbing it, looking after the baby lion. Now where the lion will live? He'll live with the sheep. Because you are farmer, so your sheep, your goats, your one, two dogs. Now that lion will grow up with them, play with them, jump with them, talk with them, hop with them, everything. So as it starts growing, it will learn to be a sheep, because it doesn't have its identity. No one told it you are the son of lion. So he thinks, "I'm the son of a goat." This is the story of the ugly duckling. It was a swan but in the wrong place. We are lions but we are also in the wrong place. So what happened is, as those goats were growing up, they were becoming white. And the poor lion, he was becoming brown. And in this world everyone knows to be white. Hey, I like that white girl. Because white means smart. White doesn't mean smart at all, it's in your mind. There's nothing smart about white. Color makes no difference. One person said, "I want to marry an American girl." He asked for jihad. When jihad will take place, can you get American slaves? So the student said, "I'll go for the American war." Because he heard of American slaves. So I said, "Why you want American slaves?" He said, "All those actresses in Hollywood, they'll be my slaves. This one, this one, this one." So I told him, "You thrill with white flesh." I said, "Do you ever realize what's the difference between a pure Muslima and an American filthy kafira?" He said, "Ah, Mulana, but she's smart." So I said, "Okay, let me explain to you what will happen. No matter how smart she looks, you will take her home one day. You will get her as your slave girl, you will get her as your wife, whatever you want to, whenever the jihad has to take place. Now when you bring her home, you must remember there's a difference between your Muslima and this kafira. Your Muslima, from the time she was young, she knew how to make istinja. From the age of 4, mommy was teaching her how to wash her private parts. But that auntie, she never learned. So from the age of 4, she was polishing. Every time she would go to the toilet, she never knew use water. So she would just polish. She would polish, polish, polish. When you polish, what happens? It stays in, it doesn't come out. It remains. So now that becomes her natural perfume. Because it's always on her. Then your Muslima would be told, take a bath, take a shower, never get into a tub. Because dirt comes in the tub. But that pretty auntie, whole life she would sit half an hour in the tub. Number one, there was polish already. Now sitting in the tub will get perfumed. Now she sits in and goes, ah. As she goes, ah, a little bit goes in the ear, a little bit goes in the mouth, nose. Now she's surrounded by the dirt. Natural perfume is in her. She doesn't know where to cut. She never had purity of life. She never knew what hair to cut, what hair not to cut. She becomes like a jungle. She becomes dirt, whatever she becomes. So I told her, later on in life, she'll make tawbah, no problem. She will also want to accept Islam, no problem. But natural perfume, you can't get rid of. She will have to put that perfume on. So first night she'll have a lot of top perfume. You'll say, ah, you're smelling of the rose, you're smelling of the dove, whatever it is. But now later on at night, you wake up maybe 3 o'clock in the morning, you hear the adhan, someone gave adhan early, you wake up. Suddenly you go yourself. Now you're smelling some perfume. That perfume now will take you out of the bedroom. Now you will understand, hey, this is heavy stuff. Why? Because she grew up in dirt, and the other one grew up in purity. Then you will understand having a white goat which got a smell, you rather have a lion which got no smell. Now you will understand, color doesn't mean everything. Character means, purity means. What's on the inside, you will see it after you go in the bedroom. That a pure wife, which Quran mentioned, a believing woman is much better than a kafira or a mushrika. Even if she is the most prettiest girl in the world. Because she grew up in filth, and you thrilled about her. So that lion now is brown. But because she's in the wrong environment, you will see in South Africa now that the South Africans got freedom. How many black women you will see, they buying the perfume to become white. We'll put the cream on, putting the cream on. One man walked past one man who was dark. He saw him with ice, rubbing. Asked him, what are you doing? He said, trying to become white. He told him, my friend, the ice will become dark. You're not going to become. How are you going to change? You must be happy with your looks. Allah created you in that color. Your color is unique. But the Western propaganda told the whole world, white is unique. We the bosses, nothing unique about white. So the lion is unique when he's brown, but he's feeling shy now. So every day he's rubbing himself, if I can become white, I can become, you'll never become. Now when those goats are jumping, they do their funny jump, so he tries to do funny jump. They'll jump normal, he will land on his head. Every time he does something, the goats will laugh at him. He's a lion in the wrong place. His clothing they're laughing at. His jump they're laughing at. And his talk, they make meh. Now he tries to meh, but his meh don't come out. Because he's a lion, he's not supposed to be making meh. So they all laugh at him. They say, you can't talk. Why? Because he forgot how to talk. You see, you also got your own talk. Your talk is mashallah, inshallah, subhanallah. But what happens when you came in the school, you learned a different talk. You learned F and you learned B and you learned this one, that. You don't talk that. And no matter how you say it and you think I'm the boss and you make your funny styles and you hit a person and say, how's it? And you shake hands so fast, your hand goes, it's not yours. Yours is a normal assalamu alaikum. You are unique in simplicity, but you learn from the wrong place. So you started thinking he is unique. And whenever you tried to do it, you ended up like a fool. There was one man in, once when the British were in India at that time, they made a law, everyone must learn English. So the Indian people, they also started getting thrilled. If I know English, it means I'm clever. If I don't know English, I know Urdu, it means I'm stupid. So everyone got that shock. You go Pakistan today also, a man will come and say, South African, how's my English? How's my English? He wants to know how his English is. What difference? Language is language. So they open up that school now. Now you got your investigator, your inspector going to check up how good English they're learning. So they come by that school now, so the inspector say, I want to take an exam. So young children, 5 years, 6 years, they're learning English, but it's not their tongue. Why? They were impressed with something which wasn't theirs. So the teacher writes on the board, nature, N-A-T-U-R-E. But that small boy now, he doesn't know English, he never learnt it, so he reads, natura, natura. Because how are you going to be? How you know this is nature? So that inspector becomes very upset. He says, so much money is being spent, you can't read the simple word, nature. The boy looks at him. So the teacher is feeling shy. He tells the teacher, what's your problem? How are you teaching? So the teacher says, just take it easy on the young boy. He's still not matura. And he wanted to say mature, but where he knows also. He's not his tongue. He's from India. So instead of mature, he learned matura. He learned natura. So that inspector says, this is terrible. I have to speak to the principal about this. He goes to the principal. He says, one is saying natura, one is saying matura. That principal hits his head. He says, I don't know what's going to happen with the fatura of the school. He was going to go future. He never know fatura. Everyone will laugh. Why? It's not his language. Not his. You will be a mock the day you leave yours. And that's what we left. We got our own clothing. We got our own headgear. We got our own style. We got our own salah. We got our own kalam. We got our own talk. Now the lion will always be the stupid until a day comes when the lion meets Mrs. Lioness. Mrs. Lioness walking in the jungle, lion is feeling down. She comes up to him and says, handsome. First time in his life someone called him handsome. He said, me, I'm handsome. I can't be handsome. Look at my color. I'm dark. She says, you're unique. Why? Now he met the right people who told him, I can see who you are. You are Ahmed. You are Muhammad. You are Yusuf. You're not Joe and John and Pon and... You are unique. You are unique, your name is unique, your walk is unique, your talk is unique. So he says, no, me, I'm not a lion. And that's what normally happens when the Jamaat comes and they tell you, come out to the party. He says, no, me, I'm not pious. I'm not pious, you know. And if ever a girl says, make dua for me, how shy you become? He says, me, in a way I can make dua. But you are the man of dua. You are Allah's. That is why you are sitting here. You are unique, but you're in the wrong place. So that lioness says, come and show you who are you. Look in the water. Look at you. You look like me. You don't look like those idiot goats. That's what it will say now. You are in the wrong world. Now the lioness will say, talk to me. Say something to me. So you'll say, meh. Because he learned meh whole life. She said, what meh? You must say raw. You say, me, I can't raw. But she says raw, and when he roars, it's a unique roar. The whole jungle moves because he's a man. Now when he's going back, he asks the lioness that what attracted you to me? What she will say? She will say, the first thing that attracted you to me to you is your mane. Isn't it? The beard. Because if the lion never have the beard, you think the lioness will fall in love with the lion, another lioness. Lionesses don't know what lesbianism is. She will look for a lion. What a lion? A lion got a beard. Shaitan will tell you, you young, cut your beard. Why? Who will marry you with a beard? So I mentioned one place, the people were very thrilled about this. I told them that it's a lie. If you ever think you can't get married with a beard, then think of reality. That the people who got beards in the world, they got four wives. The people with no beard, they're struggling to find one. If a beard would scare a woman away, how do all the Arabs enjoy four wives? Beards don't scare anyone away. But you don't know that you meant to be a lion. You're not meant to be a lioness. You are unique. Now when the lion comes, his walk will change. His talk will change. His color will change. Now you are unique because you are you again. That's all we want to end on. If you come into the company of the people who are lions, and you allow them the chance to teach you who you are, you will become the king of the world. You will become free. Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Rahimullah, one young boy came to him. Hazrat Maulana Masihullah was old, so he smiled at the boy. He said, you're so young, and you're coming and sitting with an old man like me. He said, spend your youth with me, and I promise you before the age of 25, I will make you an old man. What he meant by that, I will make you mature before other people become mature. Spend your time with the people of age who already saw the world. Don't be shy to go to an alim. Don't be shy to have a sheikh. Don't be shy to tell someone, I want to take bayat. It got nothing to do with I'm Mr. Pious or not Mr. Pious. I'm Mr. Evil, not Mr. Evil. You need to meet a lion. And the day you meet a lion, he will teach you what's happening in the jungle. He will teach you who your enemies are. He will teach you who your friends are. He will make you mature before the time comes that shaitan can throw the bait in. When you become biting and then it's too hard to come out. So find someone who your heart appeals. Someone when he talks, you think of Allah. Someone when he talks, you think that I am lost in this world. And make that person your spiritual guide. Take bayat at his hand. Learn to make zikr from him. Learn to read Quran from him. Learn to change your life from him. And whoever did it, what and what happened to them? May Allah tabarakallah grant us all understanding. Subhanallah. So inshallah, my message was this year, that find someone who you find yourself appealed to. There are many ulama, many mashayikh in the country. Younger boys are normally appealed to younger people. Older people appeal to older people. Find someone, find your lion, and inshallah your life will carry on from there. Allah pak grant understanding, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.